We're going to have a recall.
Oh, I don't think so. There's been a big change, as you might know.
Well, I think we're going to have a recall, but more importantly, I think that the focus of the issue has changed. As far as the school board is concerned, you know, to a large extent, it's now what did they know and when do they know it? I think Alan Gordon is going down big time. I think Alan Gordon committed criminal acts.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
I think it's absolutely true.
Well, you know, we were a part of this blackmail meeting. I don't know what it's blackmail. You say
a blackmail meeting. You know, at the end of the meeting, you took everybody into your library and showed them your family pictures. It couldn't have been exactly much of a blackmail meeting.
I was trying to lighten the moment. I said, you know, let's get away from this. You guys are constitutional lawyers. You must have read about this in the Constitution. I think that would be, you know.
You know, first of all, the blackmail meeting was nonsense because the memo that you're talking about was sent to everybody in the world, even.
Not before. Excuse me. The memo, I just want to tell you, because we're talking about a memo that was delivered in my house.
I know it was delivered in your house, but it was also delivered to a lot of other people.
No, excuse me. They said they wouldn't do it. They said, we won't go to the DA. If you do this, we won't go to the DA.
Well, first of all, let me just say that that's not what I understand happened. There's definitely a discrepancy about what happened, and I just need to say, I mean, you and I can fight about this.
Right,
but
yeah.
The other thing is that the other people that were there will be here on this program tomorrow night at 4.
I think that's good. I think they should. And I emailed Sharon Harris and phoned her on the phone, left a message.
You're not even a party to this. I mean, first of all, you're not even involved.
Why are they? I'm as involved as they are.
As they are.
They're concerned parents. They said they were coming as concerned parents. You're not even a concerned parent. I'm a concerned citizen.
You don't have a parent. You're a concerned citizen.
No, Jeff. Remember when they called, this part is accurate. The first call was to Cindy, we're going out to 400 Taplin Road. Not even a name, not even somebody's house. 400 Taplin Road.
No, the idea was that it was a neutral location for the meeting.
Fine, fair enough. But, you know, when you don't even say who the person is, it was creepy, very, very creepy.
So Cindy, only in your twisted imagination.
I'm sorry, it was my wife's twisted imagination and CJ's twisted imagination.
I'm talking about you now.
And also Inez de Luna. She said, no meetings out on roads. You can come to the market and my parents will be there. Cindy called back and said, look, can we do this at the roasting company? They said, no, we can't do it in a public place.
No, they didn't want to do it in a public place where everybody in the world could be listening.
Fair enough. So they said, we'll do it at our house. That was very generous. So they came into our house. They laid down the memorandum on it, said CC. It went to the Board of Trustees. CC Bill Kislyak, Doug Ernst, California State Senator Pat Wiggins, she'd have a lot to do with this. The District Attorney Gary Lieberstein, Barbara Nemko, Robert Haley, and Alan Gordon. So this is what they
and
first.
And me, I was left off, but I got a copy. I was given a copy.
Well, I would have given you a copy at any time. I mean, I'm glad people know it. So they went down the memorandum. We're going to get into the memorandum, I take it, if you want to. I mean, I'd be happy to do it. It is. What it has is gossip. It has things like...
No, it doesn't have gossip. It is not about gossip. It is about fact. And the truth of the matter is that the school board, the issue is for them, as far as I can tell, you know, what did they know and when did they know it and who knew what when? I come away from this memo and a lot of the information that I've gathered, not cranked up at the school board, although I think that they've handled things badly. I think that Alan Gordon is absolutely the villain of the piece. Alan Gordon is guilty of conflict of interest. I think Alan Gordon's going down.
I'd be very careful to say that. Well, the gossip that I'm talking about, I think Alan Gordon did not handle the retirement well. In other words, I wish that they had.
What do you mean handle it well? He was incredibly dishonest.
I wish they had set a date. They would have done all that thing. No, I can't go to the dishonest.
I mean, the board violated the Brown Act. There is no question in my mind about that.
You don't know whether the date's right. I don't know that that's accurate.
I think it's very accurate, but I think the board violated the Brown Act. Do I think that's a crime? No. It happens. It happens a lot. Do I think that the board was led down a very dangerous place by Alan Gordon? Absolutely. Do I think that Alan Gordon is guilty of conflict of interest, criminal conflict of interest? Perhaps. And I think that's where the villain is, not the board.
Okay, so we're going to have a chance to discuss this, right? Now, here's one of the things, the problem with their memo is they don't have the dates right.
No.
Jim Zoll, the principal of St. Helena High, is the linchpin of this whole PAR situation. In their memorandum, they said Jim Zoll announces retirement in April, saying the retirement package of which six teachers took advantage of.
Right, and it wasn't supposed to be for administrators. It wasn't for that class.
The original one was for teachers. You with me?
Yeah, and
they
changed.
Had a date.
It was changed at the fiat of Alan Gordon without notice and without public input.
Now, man, I'm going to have
And it was self-dealing because he did it after he had told people he was retiring.
And I'm going to have to say that it was approved by the board that this thing, they had a date.
In closed session, unnoticed.
Always closed session, and it was noticed.
It was not noticed.
It was on, they gave the teachers, by November 21st, they gave the teachers a right to join. Six teachers signed up. On December 11th, they approved the package in closed session, and it was properly noticed on the board. Okay, these are the dates that they have wrong on this thing. So Jim Zoll, now you have to understand, here's what's happening. You've got these things in the teachers union and all these problems. You know, you can't just go fire somebody and you try to give these incentive packages.
Just
let me
talk
finish
around
here.
The issue.
No, I'm not. I'm going to get
Alan
specifically
Gordon engaged
to it.
In what I think is conflict of interest criminal activity.
Not even close. Just follow the thing. Follow the thing.
I'm following
on
the
December
ball,
12th. On December 12th, the day after they okayed the PARS package to the teachers, Jim Zoll, the principal, gave his resignation. He said, if you'll give me PARS, I'll resign.
He couldn't do it because the date was closed on November 21st by law.
First off, the date is never closed. The teacher's thing was closed. He said, boy, that's good looking. And they had been trying. He said, give me the PARS package. And Jim Haslip, who's on the board, you know, who, as you know, disliked Jim Zoll, anything, he said, whatever it costs, get him out of here. Whatever it costs. The board met on December 11th. In closed session, so one might assume that they said, here's our opportunity. What they wanted to do was move Julie Sinyard into the principal's office. They wanted to move Alan, the fellow from the grammar school, Stan Augustine, into the assistant superintendent. They wanted to do other, every one of these jobs gets
self-dealing
paid less than the one before it. This was a money-saving thing.
No,
every one of these things
paid
less. In the total package of all eight people, six teachers, two superintendents, they saved $1.2 million. They would have probably had Jim Zoll come back the next year. But the fact that Julie Sinyard was eligible to take his spot, the new whole thing, they said, this is perfect. If he leaves now, we'll give him the PARS thing. They did. Jim Haslip on the school board was leading the charge on this. Assume this is possible. So the letter exists, Jeff. Jim Zoll resigned on December 12th. So then.
After November 21st.
Absolutely, yeah. Because the package was approved on the 11th, and on December 11th. He was never a part of the package that was,
until Alan Gordon tried to change
it. No. He came in and said, look, okay, I'll leave if you'll give me this. Gordon takes it to the board. Jim Haslip's going, anything to get him out of here. This is perfect. The board agreed. They all wanted Julie Sinyard to come in. They would have liked Zoll to stay, but they were happy that he was willing to go because this allowed them to move everybody up and save money. Save money. So they agreed to give him the PARS package, which is a very simple thing. You have to have an extension. You have to have an addendum. They added the PARS package at the next meeting, all noticed and everything. It was done. It was negotiated. It was there. It goes to the uncertified employees or whatever they're called, and that meant that Jim Zoll could get it, Alan Gordon could get it, Charlie Jones could get it, anybody who was an administrator could get it. The statement, and this is why I call it gossip, they say it was widely known in the community that Alan Gordon was leaving.
It was widely known in the fall, correct.
They better not depose me, because I was with him in Hawaii and over Christmas. And as far as I was concerned, he was staying through the next year.
Well, so Cindy, what? There only are people that can depose that will say differently.
Well, that's all right. I'm just saying, I don't think anybody knows when someone's retiring. People always, Bruce Frank, we went to his retirement party. He says every year he's retiring. Gordy, what's his name? The math teacher says every year he's retiring. Some years they retire, some years they don't. So when they really put this thing together to allow Jim Zoll to try and get him out to move Julie Sinyard up, remember, each person that was moved up saved money. They saved money at the high school level, at the assistant superintendent level, and at the superintendent level. Every one of those things has saved money. So Gordon, and the idea, their point is they think, oh, he knew he was going to get this thing, and so he did this little trick
on them,
and they all failed. No.
He did.
I don't know that he ever knew he was or not. The day he retired was when his wife was going in for surgery. You guys are so off base on this.
The interesting thing is that, you know, this started out about a recall of the board and these other issues. I think that's become minor. The board, I think, just acted, you know, blindly, quite frankly. I think that the villain is truly Alan Gordon.
The thing is, they wanted to enable Julie to move up to principal.
No, this
so
was
they allowed,
all,
this was done
saying,
back in December.
This was all about Alan Gordon trying to glom on to more money.
It's a nice try, but back in December, and it was to allow Jim Zoll to retire.
No, it was
and allow
all
Julie
done for
to move
Alan
up.
Gordon to be greedy.
I mean, that's a nice way to
criminally
say it.
Criminally greedy, I would argue.
Well, you can argue, and they've taken it to the DA.
I understand that.
You know? And so they can make their assertion, but they'll be talking about this thing, and they'll go through, and they'll notice that each one of these things was noticed, that each one of the things that Jim Zoll resigned December 12th, not in April, as they said here.
First of all, there's good lawyers on the other side and incompetent lawyers working for the district, best as I can tell.
I don't know about the thing. I know that they went back, my wife went back, and CJ went back and talked to lawyers, at least in their opinion. Everything was noticed. Everything followed the thing. Everything went down.
I believe that.
I mean, you know,
believe that. I'm not criticizing Cindy here or criticizing CJ. I believe, and I think this is true from what I understand, they did go back and talk to the district lawyer. I think they got bad advice, but that's not their fault.
So let's go on with the meeting. So they go through with the thing. These people. DiVincenzi and the ones you're going to have tomorrow and Alfaro and, I don't know, Zelansky or whoever that Gallus, I think. Two attorneys. They go through with it. Then they have four remedies at the end. And their remedies are fire Alan Gordon, fire Rob Haley, rescind the packages, and the board must resign en masse.
Well, of the three out of the four, I think are absolute musts.
I'm not even arguing at that at this point.
I'm not even arguing and that then the board should resign. I'm not even arguing for the recall. I think Haley should resign. Alan Gordon should resign.
And
the package needs to be rescinded. I agree with all of
those. Then they say, or we will go public with this. Absolute fact, heard by all seven of us. We all heard it. Said it another time, or we'll go to the DA. Now, I want to give another thing. Before we got to that stage, I turned to Gene DiVincenzi and I said, assuming you're correct, because, you know, it is fair to bring these things up. It's absolutely fair to bring up any question. If you've done your research, you want to do it, it's fair to bring it up. I said, assuming you're correct, could the board go back? And they still wanted to give retirement packages to these guys because they figured they deserved it. Could they go back and restructure it and do it in a way that would make you, that it was well noticed and that you had input and that everything was involved? She said, no. So they've resigned. They can't do it now.
That's exactly right.
Well, they resigned because they thought they were going to get the retirement package, so I wouldn't go over that one. But the point was, we weren't there to solve any problem. We were there to they were presenting to the board, to two members of the board, an ultimatum. It was blackmail. I mean, I don't know what the law is. Well, are you trying to say that they didn't say, or will go public?
I will let them answer that tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, let them answer that tomorrow night, and I'd like to see them, and I've got a great one. I think we should each take a lie detector test. Why don't we do that? Ask them if they'll take... I'll volunteer right now to take a lie detector test. Ask them whether they'll take a lie detector test. I mean, there's no question of what happened on that thing.
Well,
now,
there's... No, whoa.
About their demands.
Just
there's no
minute.
Question about the demands.
No, I mean...
Three of us were there and heard it.
Well, the four on the other side that heard something different. I mean, the truth of the matter is that you can sit there and say all you want. And again, I'm going to let them speak for themselves.
Let
it's
them
not
speak
my job
for themselves.
To speak
Absolutely
for them.
Absolutely right.
But you can't... I have to stop you, though, is to say there is no question about. There's obviously a large question about.
Let me rephrase
You have your
that.
Opinion. They have theirs.
Well, I think two of them are lawyers. They're officers of the court. I don't think they can lie about the ultimatum. I mean, if they deny that they said that, or we will go public, in my humble opinion, that will be an outright lie. And I'd take a lie detector test on that, and I'd challenge them to do that on thing. They absolutely said this. We had, and then, and CJ was good, Cynthia Yeager. Said, well, look, I'm not an attorney. I can't answer these questions. These are legal questions, right? I just can't answer it. What's our time frame here? And they said, one said you have till tomorrow. The other said the board meeting. So it was kind of left unclear when they had to answer it. Now, I have to tell you, the best part was when...
In your opinion.
In my opinion. When Sharon Harris said, if you don't do what we're asking here, we will go public. I said, That's it. You guys have to do it. You got to do whatever they say. And one of the gals said, is he serious? I said, are you friggin' ridiculous? You're going to be laughed out of town for this. These things here, Jeff, when you go through them. Now, if these dates were right, if the facts, if the gossip.
I think the facts are right.
But the dates aren't right because Jim Zoll resigned in December. And they say April here. You know, they say it was well known in the community. You know, that's gossip. That is,
no, it's
that's
not.
Hearsay. Whether he resigned the day he resigned. That's when he resigned.
No,
okay,
no,
and he did.
No, it depends on what you're absolute. From a legal point of view, you are absolutely wrong.
Well, I don't know. I guess there's someone
who determined
that.
When he resigned is less important than whether or not Alan Gordon, in particular, had an intent to defraud.
Well, I think that's absolutely a fair game.
And I think
fair
that
game,
he did.
You know,
from what
and,
I my take on it.
No, but if you understood, if you tried to follow the logic, that it was all about trying to get. A lot of people had difficulties with Jim Zoll. I personally liked him, at least the first couple of years, because I think he whipped things into shape. He did a lot of stuff. But by the time, with the new IB program, with the ability to put Julie Senior in his spot, the minute he said, listen, ladies, if you'll give me that Paris package you gave the teachers, I'll resign, as Jim Haslip is alleged to have said, whatever it costs, let's do it. I mean, they were so happy. He was so happy to get him out of there. We all know they had a terrible fight. So it was about. So how do you get
all
him to do it?
All of this.
Understand.
All of this. No.
They had to amend
just,
the package.
I get to talk now. Okay. All of this, again, and I'm not going to argue this. I'm going to let the other side argue for themselves.
Yeah, let
my
them,
job.
Yes. Sure.
But I believe, certainly from my reading of it, and this is my opinion, and people can hear your side. They'll hear the other side tomorrow, is that this was all manipulated every step of the way by Alan Gordon.
Yeah.
That he played all of these people, including the board, like the puppet master.
That's the case they want to make, and that's a fair enough. You know, you can try to make that case. I think when one looks at the dates and one looks at the times and one looks at the savings of money, remember, they saved $1.2 million in this whole late package.
They could have saved $1.5 million.
$1.3 million, I think, actually. It's like an $80,000 difference. It's not a big difference. And quite frankly, the point is on the Alan Gordon thing is, do you know how much money Alan is? Alan put together the whole thing with a football field, with the track, with all the things. I think.
That's like saying Bernie Madoff made charitable contributions.
No, it's not. No, they wanted Alan to stay. I don't think anybody thought for $36,000, that he gets $36,000 a year for 5 years. That's the Alan Gordon deal. $36,000 a year for 5 years. I don't think anybody on that administration thinks that was a bad deal. They think that he's going to work for them. He's going to do some stuff. He's going to help, especially with this lawsuit with Barbara Nemco and the Napa County Office of
a lawsuit.
Whatever it's called.
Another lawsuit he'll lose.
Well, maybe he will. I don't know. But I think they certainly felt that it was well worth $36,000 a year to keep him around, to have him working, to keep him working in the community and being a part of the team.
There's nothing felonious
about that.
Well, I don't agree necessarily. But what I can't quite figure out, and where it's going to be interesting as this continues to go through the process and stuff continues to come out, is where the nexus is between this and the midnight hiring of Rob Haley. And was that part of a cover-up?
Yeah,
I'm not clear on that.
I think that one is so, I mean, at least from what I was a part of, and I was not for the midnight hiring, you know that. I've been very critical of the board on all that kind of thing. What happened was, and you talk about communication and transparency, this board, or at least what I've heard from them, and I don't agree necessarily on one of the things, but at any rate, they were really hot. I think Alan Gordon's the best superintendent we've ever had here since I was a kid here. Okay, this stuff aside. We got new facilities, we got the IB program, all this stuff is put in. They had this plan. At some point, Alan leaves, Rob takes Alan's place, Julie Senior takes Jim Zoll leaves, Julie Senior takes his place, Stan takes Rob's place, and I forget who it is that comes in and takes a Julie's place, or maybe they have to go out and hire that. Also, they've been involved in trying to, some teachers like Gordy Anderson, who've been there for 35 years, he's left, are just fabulous. But like in any business, some that have been there for 30 years aren't so fabulous. And of course, these salary scales, they get up, you know, they get step and column, and they move up every year. So you got several teachers making $90,000, $100,000 a year, that it would probably be better if they would move aside. They've lost a little enthusiasm or whatever. If they would move aside and some younger people were hired. So they offer these incentives. Now remember, PARS It's not, they're not crooks. This is it's statewide. All the school systems, you know, districts use this thing. It's not, we're not, they didn't invent this here in St. Helena.
No, they just, Alan Gordon just abused it.
Well, you think it did, but that's, so here's their program. They're trying to say, we've got to get better teachers, we've got to get better administrators, we've got to save money. Here's a way to do it. We offer incentives. Someone making 100 grand leaves, we hire somebody for 50 grand. The person leaves paying 100 grand, we pay him 20 grand a year. 50 and 20 is 70, we save 30 grand a year. And this goes on to the tune of $250,000. Now, on the Alan Gordon and Jim Zoll thing, there's very little money or no money being saved on their two retirement things.
Right.
But in the overall package, big money is being saved. And more than that, money is being saved on the fact that each one of these administrators makes less than the one that came before them. So this has actually been an extremely, not only prudent, a very cost-effective thing. And Alan Gordon is getting $36,000 a year.
Right, a cost of, you argue that it's cost-effective, but, you know, as you sort of go down the list, it's all inside dealing.
It's not
all
inside
manipulated
dealing.
By Alan Gordon.
No, it's all public. It was all public. It was noticed. I think what the gals missed who did this thing, they didn't understand that Dr. Zoll retired December 12th, and where you're, I have to say you're incorrect. He was never eligible for the teacher's PARS plan. See, he's what they call I think it's uncertified or certified employee.
And so was Alan Gordon.
Right. I know, but they were never eligible for the teacher's plan. That it was only for the teachers.
Right.
So he
but
didn't
Alan
miss a
Gordon,
deadline.
In the dark of night, amended the plan.
No, they didn't. They did it.
Yes, they did.
They did it.
I'll let them argue it.
Let them. They noticed it in a school board meeting on December 11th. I mean, you know, to get Zoll, they wanted to get Zoll in this thing. And so it took a month, and they did it then in January.
It was
closed noticed.
On November 21st.
No. That one was closed. But to get Zoll in, they did an amendment. It's perfectly legal to do an amendment.
No. Alan Gordon signed the amendment, which was arguably illegal under California law.
Not even close. I mean, you're going to find
You'll
out.
See?
Not even close. Because they wanted to amend it to get Zoll out, to move the other people up. Once they could move the other people up, they could save money. Now, the thing that you are in defense of what you're saying, if Zoll gets it, then Gordon gets it. So you could say, I mean, if they want to make the case, he figured, I'll get something for Zoll, and then I'll get advantage of two. Guess what? Stan Augustine gets it. Anybody who's a, whatever the term is, non-certified employee or whatever,
classified.
It means administrator, is now eligible for this program. They probably won't be eligible for it next year because they're going to do this other thing called STIRS Golden Handshake or something. But it would be a very, very difficult thing for somebody to prove that Alan Gordon did this knowing he would benefit from it, but also because Rob Haley was the one, he negotiated the whole teacher's package. The PARS package with the teachers was negotiated by Rob Haley.
How convenient, and then Alan Gordon puts Rob Haley in as a success.
Well, he didn't. I mean, the school board decided on it.
Do you understand? Let's back away from this a second, because again, I have an opinion which I'm expressing, I don't want to argue the case because it's really up to those people.
Okay, let them argue. That's a good point.
Case.
Okay,
you know, you argue your case, they can argue their case.
That's fair enough.
And I've certainly expressed where I think this is going, but don't you understand? And I think you should get this. That from the public's point of view, this just stinks of insider dealing all the way down the line.
If the meetings weren't noticed, you would have enough of that. These things were all noticed. Alan Gordon,
seems to be, again, I'm not going to argue the point, I'll let them argue, but there seems to be debate on that point.
Okay, let's say it's from their standpoint, it's debatable. I apologize from my standpoint. From what I've been shown, it's not debatable, and they've taken it to the DA, so he can come in and they can do an investigation and they can decide this. I don't think in any court of law, when somebody says it was well known that Alan Gordon was going to retire, just because he said he was going to retire and then said he wasn't going to retire, did all this, you'd have to also, I've dealt with this guy. There's no way, this is my personal, this is only Jeff Warren's opinion, that he would ever do something like this. I mean, the idea that I'll really sneak this past the board. Secondly, the board doesn't make a move without talking to legal counsel. So legal counsel, now your thought is that, well, maybe they're incompetent. Legal counsel thought that everything was documented here, everything was done. They're advising the board. Remember, neither you nor I nor any volunteer making $213.33 a month could understand
right.
this.
Well, I mean, coming from totally outside the players in this, you know, my information on this, and again, this isn't from your side or the other side, right, is that relying on counsel for the district, your district, is really a dangerous thing to do because it's not exactly the highest level of competence.
You know, and let's pretend that that's true. Let's, for the sake of argument now, let's pretend that's true.
And that doesn't come from your side or their side.
Let's say that, you know, everybody decides that the attorneys for the school board are just totally incompetent.
Weak,
or you know, whatever, or could be manipulated by Al Gordon, or whatever the term is you're trying to get at. You've got four, there used to be five till the five-year wonder, Jim Haslip bailed, making $213 a month. These things are complicated. They say, is this legal? Can we go through this? What's the deal here? And the attorney says, this is absolutely legal, this is absolutely normal. They said, what are they supposed to do?
By the way, I said to you at the outset, even when we were spitting at each other in the beginning, that while this whole issue started out with respect to the recall and the board and Rob Haley, my sense of this is less about the board
than
it is Alan Gordon.
Yeah.
There is a sense of who knew what and when did they know it. And I'm not sure all of the members of the board are without guilt or responsibility in this, but my sense is that both Cindy and Cynthia are the, if anybody's culpable, they're the least culpable. I'm not rushing to judgment on them. I want to be clear on that, and I don't say that because differently, I would tell you.
All of it is fair game.
The more you dig into this, the more I sense that Alan Gordon is the puppet master.
Well, if this stuff is true, if what they're saying is true, you would be absolutely right. One of the things they say, you know, in one of the attachments is that Jim Haslip asked for a legal ruling. Jim Haslip, on May 8th, sent an email to Carolyn and, you know, back to Inez Boom, said we should make sure this is legally valid or something like that. Then he quit on May 11th. So the reason, you know, I don't know whether he got a response or didn't get a response, but he was part and parcel on the board. They voted. Remember in January, you're saying that Alan Gordon brought this thing up in January, which is correct, and they did it. The board voted to okay it. Jim Haslip was a part of that. So to try and come in now and say, oh, I thought this was illegal or I thought this was bad, is very disingenuous.
No, I'm not defending Jim Haslip either way.
I don't even have
an opinion about Jim Haslip.
Excuse me. Their arguments in here, they include an email from him. They're trying
that.
To say that he was some hero on this. Not even close. And the point is, what's really good about this is they've come in.
I must say, I've read the 10-page memorandum. Yeah. I have not yet read the 86 pages of backup.
Yeah, I know. I love the 86. This is too much time on their hands.
No, I think it's great. No. I will. I can't promise that I'll read every word of it, but I will certainly go through it, which I haven't had a chance to do yet.
Well, I think.
But I have read the memo.
I think you should do Cindy's memo.
Yeah.
Since I'm the outsider here, I think this is excellent that you're having them, and I want Sharon Harris to, you know, to come on with me on Wednesday if she'll do that. I've asked her. Is I think you should have Rob Haley come in and give his side, because he knows this stuff much better than I do. So that would be fair. You've heard their things on the allegations, and let him give the school district side. I think that would be a good one, and keep it going.
Possibly, or maybe, you know, I don't know that Alan Gordon, on advice of counsel, will talk at this point.
Or Alan Gordon, I'm sure. Well, I don't know what he would does on advice of counsel on these things, but I'm sure Rob Haley as a superintendent would come. I can't imagine that Alan Gordon. I'm sure Alan Gordon would come, quite frankly, because this is spurious.
You never answered the one question.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I want to come back to it because I think that it's important. I think it's important in terms of the way this is going to play out. That it just looks bad.
It only looks bad if you put it in this light. If you put it in light of trying to.
You
get
don't think all this inside dealing and this one's replacing this one and this one's replacing that
one? Oh, no, I think that was their plan. This is a management thing. It's not inside dealing to say, see, they've been together for five years.
All culminating in the very unpleasant, and I know we agree about this, way in which Rob Haley was hired. If that hadn't been, you know,
the cherry on top of the cupcake,
then it might look different. But the point is you have all of this smoke, all topped off by what was a pretty nasty process.
I don't see smoke. What I don't get is we had an election in November. If things were so bad, why didn't anybody run against Cindy and Cynthia?
I think a lot of this wasn't out. I think that now, but it's out.
People came out and said, oh, I don't like our parents. I mean, to me...
It's going to be very interesting to see how this all gets reported in the paper.
Where we really, really, really disagree on this is I saw those people that come into my room and say, you do this or we'll go public. I see that as coercing elected officials and trying to override an election. Well, I really found it as complete, and I don't know whether proper name is blackmail, extortion, or maybe just bad manners, but to sit there and come in there and say, you've got until tomorrow to this or we'll go public, that is the most egregious thing. I can't imagine somebody would do that, especially in a small town, or do that anywhere and think that somebody would do that. I mean, I went public immediately. They're asking me, who's in the room, because remember, let's pretend they're correct. They think a felony's been committed here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretend they're correct. Imagine that if you resign, we won't tell anybody. This will be our secret among us girls. So, Jeff Warren, you can be part of our conspiracy. We won't tell anybody that a felony's been committed. I think that's disgusting. I mean, if a felony was committed, let's get it out there. Let's talk about this thing. How about them telling, if you'll just resign, you'll do all what we say, we won't tell anybody about the felony. Is that right?
Well, I don't think they see it quite that way.
But that's what they did, though.
Well, that's what you say they did.
No, I mean, they will say, they've got the four demands here. And then they said they wouldn't go public. So if they've got the four demands here, this was the deal, the quid pro quo. If you exceed our demands, we won't tell anybody about the felony. Now, if this is true, why don't they just take it down to the DA's office and say, this is what we've got? It
goes on every day.
Why did they come to the school board?
That's exactly what people said to Mark Sanford in the past few days. We know about what's going on. Either go public or we're going to tell everybody about your trip to Argentina.
Well, why did they bring this to the school board with these four demands? Why didn't they just take it to the DA and go for it?
Because maybe they thought it was a small town and they were trying to avoid the battle.
But there's a felony here. They're alleging a felony.
So
if they're alleging a felony, they ought to get they ought to take it to the proper authorities. You can't hide a felony. That's wrong. They were going to hide a felony. They wanted me to hide the felony with them and Cynthia and CJ, and nobody would do that.
First of all, I don't see it that way. They don't see it that way, and they'll speak to that tomorrow again.
I want to hear what they have to say, and that's why I want Shannon on my show. So what was the point of the meeting?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's coming on your show, but
she should.
Yeah, she should. Yeah.
Why not? They asked for equal time.
Well, they're getting equal time, but they, you know.
No, that's with you. But I mean, they thought I had equal that Cindy was on, and so they should have a time. Anyway, I'm offering it. You know, it doesn't matter to me whether they come or not. The offer's been made; it's public. But that's amazing. There's no reason to have the meeting unless you're going to cover up a felony. I think that's dangerous stuff. Uh-huh.
First of all, I would say that the biggest crime that was committed here is anybody that was stupid enough, and I say this, you know, clearly, anybody that was stupid enough to think that you could keep any secret.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Close,
I mean, they should have their heads examined.
Right. Now, that we could both agree on. I mean, don't come into my house and say, we can keep a secret about the felony.
I mean, you weren't even invited to the meeting, I might add.
I know, absolutely. But I came as a concerned citizen.
No, you came as a witness. I think that's how it was described.
That's how Cindy described it. She wanted a witness. That's right. And I have witnessed it. And I will swear on the Bible and swear on my kid's head and take a lie detector test and anything anybody else would know that what I've said is accurate.
Right, and there are people on death row that say the exact same thing.
Well, I think it's a little different.
I'm not saying
I think it might be a little different.
Well, only in scale and scope.
You know, this is where you and I this is why it is Country Mouse, City Mouse. We so disagree that these kind of strong harm tactics, this kind of, if it's blackmail or extortion or just bad manners, is appropriate. It's just not appropriate stuff.
In my world, it's not appropriate.
We
completely disagree about that. But the other point of it is that what you do is that you try and make the process the enemy. Instead of, you made an attempt to defend the situation, and that's fine.
What are you talking about?
You know, it's not, I mean, the idea, strong-arm tactic, dividing the community, that's who cares? I mean, the issue needs to be litigated in some way.
Well, but they have to have some proof. They have something to hold on to. This stuff here, if these dates are wrong, if the facts are wrong, I'm giving you the subjunctive mode.
They read Cindy's memo and said all the facts in that were wrong.
I'm giving you the subjective, if the facts are wrong, if there's gossip, if the county, the St. Helena School Board Council is correct, they have nothing. There's nothing here. It's just mean-spirited, bad stuff.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't put a whole lot of faith in the St. Helena
Council. Well, you don't, but you can't. You can't do that.
Yeah, of course I can.
I mean, you can. Yes, that's right.
My sense of the situation, as I say, that comes from neither side, but just from other objective parties.
But there's a total misunderstanding of the process of using these retirement packages to try to get rid of dead weight, to try to restructure the school. They're just missing. This was all intentional. They wanted people to leave. They wanted to reduce salaries. They wanted to reduce price. They wanted to move. You know, they'd have had Julie Senior up there 2 years ago, but she wasn't ready. Finally, she was ready. So here's the deal. Hey, Jim Zoll, you know, I don't know who came. I don't know whether Alan Gordon came to Jim Zoll or Jim Zoll went to Alan Gordon and said, look, we've got this thing in place. You can take this. Why don't you go? And he said, all right, fine. This is a good thing to do. That is what, and it happened back in December. So all their stuff about April is completely factually wrong. And that letter exists. He resigned in. So how do I do this? We do an addendum. We addend it. You're a part of the thing. Great. Now you as a principal or administrator, whatever they're called, you're eligible for this, as was Alan Gordon, as was Stan Augustine, as was anybody else on this thing. They're all eligible for it because you can't in these damn things with the unions and all. You can't do one without doing the other. You got to do everybody's got to be equal and all this stuff, you know. So it would have been much nicer if you could just say you're fired and we could go on to here, whether talking about teachers or anybody else.
All right.
So you look like you're ready to blast off.
We're ready to blast
off. All right, blast off. Thanks for opening this up. I look forward to listening tomorrow and have Rob Haley down. Let him give his side.
Fine, and you'll be back to talk about more of it.
I'm on next for 2 hours next Wednesday.
Yes, you are.
The first.